Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When people go to church, what is the significance of that action? What did you do by coming to chapel today? A lot of people would say the church is a voluntary organization and it recruits people to join, just like all other voluntary organizations. The reason you're here is because you got recruited by this voluntary organization. Other people would say they would give it more hostile interpretation. They would say the church is exercising its tyrannical hegemony over people. The church is proselytizing people. The church is imposing its religion on unsuspecting people. Is that why you're here? Because the church imposed its religion on you. Isaiah, the mighty seer of old, has a different understanding of what happened. He would say that what is happening is the God of Israel is fulfilling what he promised he would do long ago. You're here in this chapel because you Gentiles are part of the fulfillment. The promise given by Isaiah ben Amoz is really quite astounding. He says, the day is coming when the temple of the God of Israel will be exalted, lifted up high, and all Gentiles, like a river, will flow to it. They will come to the God of Israel to praise the God of Israel. They will leave behind their Gentile ways so that they can learn from the God of Israel and walk in his ways. That is really quite an astounding promise. Isaiah ben Amoz worked in Jerusalem in the 700s BC. And in those days, the world was very religious. There were no secularists, really. Every nation had its gods and goddesses. We know a lot about these gods and goddesses from ancient Near Eastern sources. The gods and goddesses of Mesopotamia, the gods and goddesses of Egypt, the gods and goddesses of the Canaanites, they all had their gods and goddesses. And Isaiah says the day is coming when the temple will be exalted and the Gentiles will throw away their gods and goddesses and they will be drawn to the God of Israel. That's quite an astounding promise. I can almost hear the ancient naysayers in Jerusalem. What are you talking about, prophet man? Come down out of the clouds. Face reality. The Gentiles are not going to come here to Mount Zion to worship the God of Israel. Oh, the Gentiles will come to Mount Zion, all right. They'll come here to destroy the place. Quit living in a dream world, prophet man. What we got to do is strengthen our fortifications. But Isaiah would say, no, the day is coming when the temple will be exalted and all nations will flow like a river. The Gentiles will come and worship the God of Israel. It will happen because the God of Israel has so promised. Well, how did that promise fare? We look at history. Sure enough, the day came when the Babylonian Gentiles came and destroyed Jerusalem, and they destroyed the temple, and they took the Jerusalemites into exile. About 50 years later, exiles returned, and under the inspiration of Haggai and Zechariah, they rebuilt the temple, and it was dedicated in 515 BC. And the God of Israel graciously dwelt there in the temple among and for his BC people. But there was no influx of Gentiles. Temple worship continued for generation after generation, but still no influx of Gentiles. Yet the faithful held on to the promise spoken by the prophets. They knew that the God of Israel would one day do what he promised. And then a surprising thing happened. That's the thing about the God of Israel. Very often he fulfills his BC promises in a surprising way. And in the fullness of time, the God of Israel came down and became incarnate. He took human nature to himself and made it his own. The God of Israel became flesh and tabernacled among us. Jesus is the God of Abraham in the flesh. As Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Thomas rightly confessed at the end of the fourth gospel, "To Jesus, my Lord and my God." Jesus is the new and greater temple. As he said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up," referring to the temple of his body. Jesus is the new and greater temple. And he came into the world to save the world. He joined the human race to save the human race, even Gentiles. He gave his life for the world. He shed his blood to take away the sin of the world, even Gentiles. John 12, our gospel lesson, records a significant episode. This took place on Palm Sunday. Jesus rode triumphantly into Jerusalem. And it says that there were some Greek Gentiles who came and said, "We wish to see Jesus." Jesus is already starting to draw Gentiles to himself. Admittedly, it's not a river, but it's a trickle, and it's beginning to happen. And then Jesus says, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He is the new and greater temple that will be lifted up, exalted on high, and thereby draw all people to himself, people from every land and ethnic group and language. John then comments that Jesus said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. Yes, the new and greater temple was exalted, all right. Exalted on a cross, on a Roman Gentile cross, no less. And by that cross, the God of Israel in the flesh saved Gentiles. By that victorious cross, Jesus cast out the ruler of this world. The old evil foe no longer rules. Jesus rules. He is the Lord. And by that cross and the message of that cross, Jesus draws Gentiles to himself from every land, Gentiles to himself from Europe and Australia, from Asia and Africa, from North America and Central America and South America, Gentiles like you and me. With that promise, Jesus updated the promise of Isaiah. As exalted Lord, he now fulfills both promises. The promise he spoke by the Spirit through Isaiah of old, and the promise he spoke on that first Palm Sunday. The one who is exalted on the cross, now by that cross, draws all manner of men and women to himself, just like he promised. Why are you Gentiles here in chapel today? Is it because the church recruited you to join up? Is it because the church imposed its religion on you? No. It's because the God of Israel, the God of Israel in the flesh, is fulfilling what he promised he would do. By that cross, he has drawn you to himself. that you may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. On this holy cross day, the God of Israel in the flesh, who was exalted on the cross for all of us, continues to draw Gentiles to himself as he put his name on Gavin through the baptismal waters. And he continues to draw you to himself today. Come to his banquet and eat his life-giving body and drink his blood that cleanses from all sin. The God of Israel in the flesh, who bodily died for you and bodily rose for you, draws you to himself again today. So come and receive a down payment for your own future bodily resurrection unto eternal life. On this holy cross day, lift high the cross. Extol the one who was lifted high up for you and pray, O Lord, once lifted on the glorious tree, as thou hast promised, draw us all to thee. Amen.